I'm Lauren Sherman, the writer behind Puck's Fashion and Beauty Memo line sheet, and I'd like to welcome you to my new show, Fashion People. On every episode of Fashion People, I'll be talking to insiders about the stuff we're all whispering between the press releases, from M&A rumors to celebrity stylist dish to the future of legacy media. Be sure to follow and listen to Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Unhappy Hour, the show where we bitch about all the things we love to hate every single week. I'm your host, Matt Bellassai. I'm here in the studio right across from my co-host and producer, Barry Finkel. Hi, Barry.
Hey, Matt.
All right. Coming up on today's episode, we're going to kick things off with a little ranting. And then we've got a worst things first for you.
What? Since when? We do worst things first?
Yeah, guess what? We do it every fucking week.
Wow.
Where I shout about the stupidest, most ridiculous, worst news of the week. And then we are diving deep into all the things that scare me if I think about it just a little bit too much. Okay? Because NASA put out those pictures. NASA put out those pictures of a bunch of other galaxies or whatever, and everyone's like, oh my god, it's so pretty. Oh, and apparently I was the only one screaming my face off. Space, actually completely terrifying if you think about it. And finally, we'll get into all the good stuff that helps the batshit go down easier with our chasers. So let's get into it. Let's do it. Let's start the show. All right, Barry, what's your gripe this week?
My gripe this week is that when I was watching the show, The After Party, this is like a month ago, they had an episode that was a musical episode, and I fast-forwarded through every single song, and it made me realize that shows that are not musical shows, so like take Crazy Ex-Girlfriend off this list, obviously not talking about that, that just like randomly have a number in their episode, they just like have a musical number. Get it out of here. I don't want it, especially if it's like, really, I'm talking about Riverdale here. Like,
I'm going through the list of shows.
It happened like once in Riverdale, and then suddenly every single episode had a musical number. And like, it's different on something to me like Schitt's Creek, where like he's playing guitar and singing, and it's like clear he's actually singing.
Right.
But anytime a show just suddenly has a character who is singing and it's clear that they're not really good. Why are you making them sing? Why are you doing this to us? It hurts me. I think about all of the cast and crew who had to witness it live, and it makes me sad for them and cringe. And I don't like it, and we should stop.
Riverdale has like a lot of musical numbers, right?
So many. None of them are good singers or, frankly, good dancers. I don't know why they keep...
And it has nothing to do with the, in a way that like at least Glee is like about a Glee club.
Exactly. And with Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, it's like, you know, the whole premise of the show.
Right.
And there's, you know, Buffy has a musical episode, but like.
Yeah, but that was like the 90s.
Right. And it was like a demon. It was part of the plot. It like made sense why it was happening. But when just nowadays, I feel like they'll be, you know what, let's just throw a musical number in here. And it's like, why?
It does remind me of one of the earliest instances of homophobia that my mother ever hurled at me.
Oh, no. So I'm sorry to bring up this triggering moment for you.
You're actually re-traumatizing me. And that was when we were watching Dreamgirls, which is famously one of my... I mean, I wouldn't say Dreamgirls as a whole is like my favorite film ever, even though
it's like part of your origin story.
Right. It does contain And I'm Telling You, which is my go-to karaoke song. Mm-hmm. And of course, it contains a performance by Beyoncé.
Yeah.
I will offer no qualifying word for her performance, but it does contain her performance. And I remember watching it and my mom saying like, I like the movie, but I don't like when they just start singing. It's like, yeah, that's a musical. Why do you think we're watching? Which I get in the form of a movie is often much weirder.
Yeah.
Especially if you have not or are not already familiar with the production.
Yeah.
The stage production. Anyway.
But yeah.
It was a real dagger to my little gay heart. Also, do you want to finish your thought?
No, that was it. No, so go ahead.
No, I just need to call out my mom again because...
Okay, is your gripe this week just your mom?
I was talking on the phone with her. I knew immediately what she meant because she was like talking about something else and then she was like, well, what did you do? Did you do anything last month? And which is just a broad question.
just do anything.
But I knew what she meant was that it was Pride Month,
right,
is what she was hinting at. And yeah. I was like, what do you mean? And she was like, well, June, I just learned the other day that there's a whole month just for gay. That is a direct quote.
June, there's a whole month just for gay. Okay, we need calendars. We need merch. We need shirts. We need hats.
I was like,
a whole month just for gay.
Yeah. I'm also positive we have talked about this before. There's no possible way that my mother in July 2022 is just learning about Pride Month when I...
it's not Pride Month. It's a month just for gay.
Yeah. That was a direct quote. And my dad was also there, and he was like, yeah, what are you talking about? He was on my side.
Okay. He was like, a month just for gay? What?
No, he also works in like an office where they like, you know, do corporate pride.
Yeah, I was about to say, he's probably like been a part of like products putting rainbows on them, things of that nature.
Exactly. Yeah. And also, he's just a member of society in a way that my mother apparently is not. I guess that's my gripe. I don't really have a gripe. I mean, my gripe is that we've been recording for approximately 8 minutes so far, and I would say that I already have a voluminous underboob sweat.
Yeah, I don't know why you're so sweaty. It's actually quite chilly in here.
It is, but also I walked here in the heat.
And, oh, it's disgusting out.
Yeah, I did just walk across the street because I live across the street from the studio, and I purchased a hot coffee, which is homophobic of me,
yeah,
so that does cancel out everything my mom
said. Why you're hot. It's because you just drink a fucking hot coffee. Stop drinking it. Why did you get a hot coffee?
I also forget that sometimes this has been a theme lately. Because I lack all self-control, mm-hmm, I need to get things that will hinder me. And get a hot coffee so I will drink it slowly.
You're kind of like one of those dogs where they eat their food too fast. So then the owners have to get a dog bowl that like has a puzzle in it so that they have to slow down.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to get those dog bowls for yourself.
I need a meal box that where I have to like solve a Rubik's Cube in order to get each new thing of food.
So is that why you got hot coffee? Is so that you wouldn't suck it down in
one
gulp?
And ultimately I did. And that is why I am sweating. I always forget, and this could be my complaint of the week, I always forget that coffee is a diuretic. So even if, and yeah, SAT word, that I'm still not entirely sure if I'm using right.
It makes you poop.
It just like releases your shit. So it makes you sweat, it makes you pee, it makes you poo.
Yeah.
And I always forget that. Mm. Should we dip into the rant hotline and see what our winos are calling it about?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's play it.
Barb and Star is no longer free on Hulu. I go to show it to my sister, who had never seen it. Me, all excited, ready to play it. Hulu, available only with premium subscription. No. So what did I have to do? I had to pay $3.99 to rent it. It's a Hulu movie. Why would it not be free on Hulu? I paid for my little Hulu subscription, and I can't watch the one stupid movie that I want to watch. Anyway, it's bogus. Absolutely bogus. Have a good day, guys. Bye.
Okay, first of all, we absolutely need to be bringing back the word bogus. I kind of forgot about it. Second of all, we need to start a GoFundMe for everyone out there who wants to watch Barb and Star. Start the Unhappy Hour GoFundMe.
Right. We can have like a fund that people can dip into just so they can pay for Barb and Star.
Yeah.
I'm just looking because I was like, I don't believe it. I need to verify this myself. Yeah, I don't have access to it because I don't pay for Hulu Premium. Was it a Hulu original? No, I don't think it was, actually.
No.
But Hulu... It
exclusively streams it.
Right. No, because I remember it was just initially just like released... Because we bought it like a couple times.
Yeah, we rented it. We spent like $40 on it.
Yeah. Back to back weeks, we spent $19.99 to rent Barb and Star. So actually, it sounds like you you got off pretty easy.
Yeah, like you're welcome.
That being said, I will extend this complaint and say that I probably pay, and I'm just going to be a lowball estimate, probably like $4,000 to $5,000 a month on subscriptions.
Yeah.
Because famously, I do not have self-control. Mm-hmm. And every time I want to watch anything, I will pay for the service and tell myself I'll cancel it. I never will.
No.
I never will. And that is why I have approximately 5 months worth of Cara vitamins in my cabinet, because they just keep sending them even though I forget to take them. And so I could open a pharmacy, actually. I could open a movie theater,
apothecary.
Yeah, an athletic green store. I have plenty of
stockpiles
of them.
Get that goop, girl.
Yeah. So anyway, great complaint. We now have, who was it that commented on our Halloween costume? I mean, didn't Annie Mumolo?
Yeah, it was Annie.
So she knows
us. Because it's her and the costume designer. Yeah, we'll get in touch. Don't worry about it.
We'll let her know that
we'll get an unhappy hour discount.
She should be writing Hulu directly and offering this to us for free.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you for calling in. And now let's get into the headlines. All right. Worst things first. Let's chat about the stupidest, most ridiculous, worst news of the week. First, a family's beloved cat named Rowdy has been haunting Boston's Logan International Airport.
No, not at all.
Every time I try a Boston accent, I just end up sounding like a Kennedy.
A Kennedy, yeah. Which, like, to be fair, you know, it's Massachusetts, but
Boston's Logan International.
You got to pack your case. Boston's Logan International Airport, okay?
Yeah.
Listen, I just spent a lot of time in New Hampshire with a lot of Bostonians, so. But then I get into Midwestern.
Yeah, Rowdy. Mm. For 3 weeks, Rowdy has been haunting Logan Airport after escaping from his pet carrier and dodging airport personnel, airline employees, and an animal expert that was hired specifically to find him.
Okay, and also the owner, who I guess just was like, can't find my cat, now I got a piece?
Yeah. I mean, here's what happened.
Yeah,
okay.
I need some explanations.
So it was a family cat. They returned from an army deployment to Germany. I guess they sent the whole army.
It's
We're sending
so
families now.
Wild that, like, there's just like armies everywhere. The U.S. just has little bases all over the world. You know what I mean?
I guess so. We're just sending people to Germany
still,
just in case.
Still there.
They get any fresh ideas.
All over the place.
I mean, famously, yeah.
Was a pretty big war there.
I mean, right. And shit's coming back.
Yeah.
Nazism is alive and well in 2022.
Yes.
Although, let's cut Germany a break. It's more prominent here than it is there.
Amen.
Because they have what? National shame. Anyway, so their Lufthansa flight landed and their 4-year-old black cat named Rowdy escaped her cage. Oh, excuse me. Oh my God, he misgendered her.
Shiro.
Yes, she escaped her cage in pursuit of a bunch of birds. See, this is why birds should not be in airports.
Yeah, it's a
why
danger.
Why the fuck is this fucking bird in the airport? They get so bold in airports too because they know we are at a disadvantage. We are there and we have to stay on the ground until a machine could lift us in the air, and they want to walk right in on their little big ass legs and taunt us, and I'm sick of it. Okay, get those birds out of our airport. Send them back. Build that wall is what I'm saying.
Yeah, bring in only the flightless birds. I want an airport full of penguins. I want an airport. It's the only flightless bird I can think of off the top of my head.
Ostrich, emu, cassowary, flamingo. No, flamingos fly. I think every time you enter an airport, they should give you a gun.
What?
They should give you a BB gun, and you should be allowed
To
shoot at birds while you wait for your flight.
I mean, to take care of the problem.
Yeah, it would.
And it would entertain you.
Right. And then you could just get on the flight.
And it won't be traumatizing to anyone.
Yeah. Cool. We live in a nightmare. Anyway, so Rowdy was on the receiving end of a whole chase. Her getaway set off this massive search involving airport and Lufthansa personnel, construction workers, animal welfare advocates showed up. They used wildlife cameras. They used Safe Relief's traps. And Lufthansa eventually hired a tracker to come into the airport to try to travel. They hired like a full safari watcher to come in.
Just full. What was the bounty hunter's name? Blank the bounty hunter.
Dog the bounty
dog.
Hunter.
They should have just brought Doug in. Dog.
I think it's Dog.
Dog the
D-O-G,
bounty. Why does it sound
which is actually incredibly fitting.
Yeah.
Dog the bounty hunter.
Bring him in.
Here's my other, again, I should save this. My complaint was going to be like bounty hunter adjacent, which is I've been seeing a lot of TikToks. Ring the TikTok bell. of tow truck drivers who show up and like tow people's cars who are not making payments on their shit.
Yeah.
And people are like, yeah, you got them. It's like they're playing a little video game where they like have to show up and take the car before the person comes out and either starts shooting at them.
Oh, or, Jesus Christ.
Which has actually happened. Or like gets in the car and tries to drive it away before they catch it.
Right.
Or even once it's on the tow thing, people will jump in the car and like start slamming on the gas and to come like unhitched and drive away. And it's crazy, but then you're like, oh, right, they're taking this person's car away. And yeah, maybe they're not making payments on it, but it feels a little bit like cop adjacent. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Where I'm like, yeah. Well, I feel like we're rooting for the wrong person here, ultimately.
Yeah.
And I don't like that.
Yeah.
How did I get here?
No one knows.
Oh, the tracker. Dog, yeah. The bounty hunter. Oh, you're right. The bounty hunter guy. I'm like, let them be. Maybe there's a reason they're on the run.
Yeah. Okay. I think if anything, like Fred the Goat was probably involved and was like, you don't want to be a part of the military industrial complex anymore. Let Rowdy go.
Yeah. Rowdy was escaping from a family that is actually pro-war. And Rowdy is a peaceful cat.
Yeah.
He is the dove.
Yeah.
He believes in passive resistance. Ultimately, that is what he was doing. She was doing for all this time at the Boston airport. And if you're wondering, how did she survive? I don't know, probably on Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, and
Boston.
Those birds that she famously left her cage for.
Although Rowdy was finally caught after 3 weeks.
Boo.
And they do suspect it was because she was probably just tired and hungry. And eventually she let herself be caught. Don't mistake that.
Yeah.
Okay. She could have stayed in hiding.
Yeah.
But she let herself be caught.
Amen.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Rowdy. Next. In news that we absolutely love to hear, scientists have discovered the world's largest bacterium that is so big.
How big is it?
It can be seen with the naked eye.
I don't want to think about that. I feel like we're jumping a little bit ahead to the deep dive, but I don't want to think about bacteria,
yeah.
And I don't want to see it.
This is actually incredibly specific to the deep dive.
Yeah.
So this marine biologist that co-authored the discovery said that the bacterium is about the size of a human eyelash, which is, okay, that's small.
But small, but still there, prominent.
Most bacteria are microscopic. You literally need a device to view them.
Yeah.
And this one you could just see.
Yeah, that's fucked.
Even though it's like, clearly, these scientists have never met the men I date. Am I right, ladies? You want a bacteria you could see with your naked eye?
Yeah, you just look right on his Tinders.
Yeah, I got something about 5'11" and full of shit. Am I right, ladies? This is by far the largest bacterium known to date. The bacterium was so big, how big is it? That the scientist who discovered it didn't even recognize it as bacteria until they did a genetic study and was like, oh shit, this is just one single cell.
Wild.
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 It was discovered in a Caribbean mangrove swamp. Uh-huh. See? In the mangrove swamp.
Wow. That's actually, it's going to grow into a big old man. So, like, what does this mean for us? You know what I mean?
This one microbiologist said, it opens up the question of how many of these giant bacteria are out there and reminds us we should never, ever underestimate bacteria. Cool.
Yay. Thanks for that lesson.
We're fucked.
Dead.
Is that sound trademarked? Probably. I remember once.
Come for us, fucking FCC. Is the FCC who would do that? I don't know.
I remember once I got in trouble for drunkenly singing a part of Drunken Love.
Right.
In Warner Music came after us.
Yep.
And then also for using the Law and Order sound, because that is trademarked. Anyway, don't like any of that. And finally, guess where? Florida. Only in Florida. This is another giant discovery coming from Naples, Florida. A team of biologists recently caught the heaviest Burmese python ever captured in Florida.
I will never go back.
How big was it?
I don't want to know.
The python weighed 215 pounds.
Oh.
It was nearly 18 feet long.
I am going to get sick again.
And it was carrying 122 developing eggs.
She's pregnant? Oh, so now Florida's fine with abortion.
Yeah. Not only did they kill the snake, they aborted all 122 of her babies.
Wow.
I mean, I basically eat 122 eggs a day. Protein. Anyway.
That is horrifying.
Yeah.
That snake, some might say, too big.
Too big.
Too big.
Yeah.
I don't want to see it.
Especially in Florida. It's like, yeah, they're not equipped to deal with that down
where
there.
Where even was it? What was it doing?
In the Everglades.
I hate that.
So to find this.
Do you know that one time when I was little, my parents took us to the Everglades and we like went in a boat that was known for like, you go in the boat and you see a bunch of alligators around you.
Yeah.
It was the scariest thing ever. I remember it.
I don't like that because I've seen a lot of videos lately of boats just going under. You make one wrong little turn, and if enough water comes up over a wave, it's like, you're fucked.
Yeah, no,
yeah,
I don't.
Your boat will sink,
I don't want to be there. Why would anyone do it?
That actually is, besides spiders, my biggest fear is being submerged in dark water.
Oh, I didn't know that about you.
Yeah, it freaks me out.
Huh.
I cannot believe I swam in a lake as a child.
Yeah.
Frequently.
Pretty much just dark water down there.
Yeah, but specifically at like dusk or nighttime.
Yeah. Okay.
Like the idea of being underwater at nighttime is so scary.
Listeners, the winos can't see, but you just had a full body shake.
Yeah, I hate it so much.
Okay, we can move on.
So to find this snake, scientists trained male snakes as scouts because male snakes are attracted to the biggest females. Okay. Body positive snakes.
Yes.
They're like, give me the biggest baddie out here. Because their anaconda do.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean? This team used a scout snake named Dionysus, or Dion for short. Okay.
Sure, okay.
Wasn't Dionysus? He was like the Greek god of fucking, I think. No. Yeah. He was like the partying guy.
Grape harvest, winemaking, orchards and fruit, fertility,
oh, right,
insanity, ritual madness, religious ecstasy. You know, all things the snake loves.
Yeah. I mean, he was like the wine and partying. I mean, ultimately the patron god of unhappy hour, I would say.
Yeah.
Because what do we do on this podcast? Drink and fuck. Anyway, so they sent Dionysus out into the Everglades to find the fattest snakes out there, and he found one, and he found the largest female that they had seen to date. But then they killed it.
Okay.
And then they found...
Honestly, I'm fine with that. Sorry, PETA.
Right, initially, I was like, okay, you just caught this snake, but then it turns out that pythons are actually an invasive species Florida, and in fact, Florida has a program, a python removal program, that's basically like catch a python, win a prize kind of thing.
Okay.
They're giving you... It says the state's python removal program runs for 2 weeks in August, so I don't really know why they're out catching them already. Oh, because they're scientists. So I guess for the average person, you go out and catch them.
Yeah.
Participants compete for prizes, including $2,500 for capturing the most pythons.
Wow. Okay.
So you show up with the sack of the most pythons, including they're out there weighing 200 pounds.
The story's not good for me either. I'm feeling faint.
Okay.
But I also just want to say you couldn't pay me $2 million to go catch a bag full of pythons.
Right. It does not seem like that much money. Enough
no.
money to be catching snakes that weigh more than I do.
Yeah. If everyone who caught a single snake won $2,500, I'm like, okay, cool program.
Right.
But if that's the ultimate prize for the most amount of pythons?
Absolutely
no,
not.
No. And just to be clear, you couldn't pay me $2,500 to catch a single python either.
Yeah. So they can keep it. And that's why this is in Florida. Anyway, that's it for this week's Worst Things First. Next, we are diving deep into all the shit I don't want to think about. Deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive. Deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber.
And I want to tell you about a podcast I think you're going to love.
Who Weekly is a podcast about everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't.
Does celebrity news stress you out?
Are there too many people you've literally never heard of?
Check out Who Weekly, a podcast hosted by Lindsay Weber and me, Bobby Finger.
Each episode goes deep into the biggest Whoelebrity stories of the moment. And if you're still confused, we even have a weekly call-in episode where we'll answer the most burning listener queries.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly on the Odyssey app or wherever else you get your podcasts.
I'm Shimol Yai, and I have a new podcast called The Competition. Every year, 50 high school senior girls compete in a massive scholarship competition.
I wouldn't say I have an ego problem, but I'm extremely competitive.
All of the competitors are used to being the best and the brightest, and they're all vying for a huge cash prize.
This will probably be the most intense thing you've ever gone through in your life.
I remember that feeling because I was one of them. I lost. But now, I'm coming back as a judge and also a kind of teen girl anthropologist. Because if you want to understand what it's like to be a young woman in America today, The Competition's not a bad place to start.
Hopefully, no one will die on stage tonight.
From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery, this is The Competition. Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
All right, this week, NASA, our friends at NASA, which, I don't know, stands for the National Oh Shit Association.
Okay, in case it's not clear, Matt just took a hit of a vape pen.
Our friends at NASA decide to pop in and say, hey, just in case you weren't already spiraling, here are some photos of the universe that our magic telescope took that show light from like 13 billion years ago. What the fuck?
I don't understand it. Also, why can't I take a single good selfie, but you can take pictures of the universe?
Honestly, yeah. Kind of upsetting that they can take a picture of a star that, I don't know, exploded like a bajillion years ago, and somehow I cannot take a photo 10 inches from my face
that does not
show the worst side of me.
Yeah.
These photos, just the first one, I was like, you can stop right there. I don't understand why we need more of this. What are we learning here that ultimately is helpful to me as a human being?
Yeah.
Okay, so a star that we'll never see in real life.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm not going to actually see that shit. I'm not going there.
No.
I only care about where I can visit.
Yeah. Show me pictures of Greece. Show me pictures of Machu Picchu.
Exactly.
Basically, all I need are the Apple screensavers.
Yeah. That is the other thing. It's like, we are now advanced enough as a society that, like, I don't have to go. I can just see a picture of it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the reverse of that.
True.
No, that was my point about like hiking, where people are like, oh, I reached the top of this mountain. I have this whole view. And it's like, you could have Googled it, actually. Yeah. That view is available on the internet.
Yeah, yeah.
You can see everything right there in front of you on your computer screen.
And actually, on a day where the weather is perfect, like if you go, no guarantees.
Yeah.
But seeing it on the picture, you're comfortable. You're in your home.
Yeah, I just don't like, I mean, I saw some people kind of explaining that photo. By the way, if you weren't on the internet, didn't see this photo, NASA has the super powerful telescope that released these images for the first time. It's like crystal clear images of some of the first galaxies after the Big Bang. I don't quite understand it.
Nothing you said made any sense.
But it shows all of these like bright little dots, and apparently each of those dots is its own entire galaxy. And our galaxy, like, we are just a small part of that galaxy. I hate it so much. I cannot think about it. I cannot fathom it. People are posting all these pictures like, oh, look how cool it looks. Also, it looks like the inside of a toilet bowl after Taco Bell night. So it's like, guess what? There's beauty in things that won't break my brain. And yeah, I am saying there's beauty in the inside of my toilet bowl. Here's the thing. What this is inspiring in me is the fact that there are a lot of things that I simply cannot think about too much without absolutely spiraling out of control. And so here I am, having taken just a wee hit from my weed pen, and we're going to talk about some of them.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a fun game to find out who will faint first throughout this deep dive. Can we actually talk ourselves into fainting.
Yeah.
It's a fun science experiment.
Yeah, which ultimately is one of the things that I think is weird that I can't think about, which is that your brain is inside of you.
No.
And it's like you can use your brain to actively talk your brain into passing out, essentially.
Yeah, no, I'm feeling faint already.
I don't like that at all.
Unfortunately, no one else is in the studio with us, but we do have Melissa and Mari on the Zoom. So, you know, just have 911 on speed dial.
That is another thing I think about, and it actually is not really funny
per se.
And it's probably more applicable to every woman and not me as a 6'3 man. When I'm walking down the street at night and I'm talking on the phone with someone, say like my mom, I always think about like if I were to get attacked, like what is she going to do?
Cool.
Like she's not, was she going to call 911 in Elsip, Illinois?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And be like, oh, my son got attacked 1,000 miles away.
Yeah.
No, I'll be dead.
You'll be dead.
Anyway, first thing that fucks me up, whales.
They are so big.
Why are whales so big? I can't even, that is the thing. Okay, when you think about the solar system, the universe, whatever.
Yeah. You're like, it's out there, it's above, it's far away.
It is so big you cannot even fathom it.
Uh-huh.
Literally, you cannot even fathom how big the universe is.
No.
You can fathom how big a whale is.
Right.
And being able to see how big a whale is and knowing that even that giant thing is still a speck in the grand scheme of things. Mm-hmm. Ah! I hate it. Okay. Also, yeah. I don't understand how a blue whale is like the biggest thing on Earth and all it eats is like little specks.
Right. Yeah.
I'm like, whatever the fuck krill is.
Like diets clearly don't work.
And I had to learn that from Finding Nemo.
Finding Nemo taught us so much.
And it eats it with teeth made out of a brush. What is that?
What is the point?
Also, how is a whale a mammal? I don't get it!
Like, get out of the water.
Right. Walk then, bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Show me this.
What is the this?
Walking, actually.
Oh, okay.
And then I was going to go up and walk, but I don't.
Okay, cool.
I'm not going to do that.
All right.
Next, this I alluded to in a previous episode, eels. Okay, listen. I did read an entire book about eels. It is called The Book on Eels.
Uh-huh.
And it's actually a very good book. It's the guy who wrote it, it's like Swedish or Switzish. And he's like used to catch eels with his dad. And it's kind of part memoir and part about eels. We do not know how eels reproduce.
What?
Still to this day, we do not know where eels come from.
What?
Okay. I'll say it again, bitch. We don't know where eels come from.
How is that even?
Aristotle, 2,000 years ago, studied eels, and he was a fucking idiot and thought they just came from the mud.
He was fucking right.
Or he was right. But back then, they were like, we don't know where eels come from. And so his logical assumption was like, I guess they just come from the mud. And now
like
it's
orcs?
2,000 years later, and we still do not know where eels come from.
How have we taken that crazy photo in space with some crazy telescope, but we don't know how eels fuck?
I don't get it. Clean up your own house before you, what is that phrase?
Yeah,
it's like
right,
you
yeah.
deal with your shit at home before you start going out and dealing with other shit. Hello, Earth. Message to Earth. Let's deal with our own shit and find out where eels come from before we start finding out where this fucking galaxy came from 13 billion years ago.
Yeah.
I would like to know where the two little eels in Little Mermaid came from.
Where do you think the universe came from? Eels.
It could be.
Could be.
It could be.
There's no
we could
proof
all
that
just
not.
Be inside of an eel's missing testicles. Basically, the assumption, if you care to have me explain it, the assumption is like eels, for a while, we didn't realize that eels go through metamorphosis.
Mm.
And so eventually we discovered, oh, these tiny little like shrimp things that we were seeing in the ocean are eels just from
so
an early
stage.
So we
do know.
No, because all eels, eventually, when they get old enough and decide to reproduce, go out into the middle of the ocean and then disappear. And scientists have, like, followed them. Yeah, they go to a speakeasy in the bottom of the ocean, and they disappear. And scientists have not been able to track we know the general area where it is.
The fucking Bermuda Triangle?
Yeah, basically. It's like nearby there. It's called the Sargasso Sea.
That's terrifying.
And they like go out down into the depths, and no living human being has ever seen eels reproduce. All we know is that adult eels go into that general area, disappear, and then eventually a baby eel is found nearby. But no living eels have ever been even seen in that area.
Sorry, I need to remember to breathe.
It just, every time I'm like, how do we not follow them? How did we find the Titanic, but we can't go to the bottom of where that is? How have we reached the bottom of the Mariana Trench, or whatever it's called, Marinara Trench?
Marinara Trench, yeah.
And we can't just go to that part of the sea and find it. I guess it's like a big part of it, which is why the ocean is like huge.
It's so big. Steep.
That is the other thing that fucked me up reading that book, because I was like, we can't. The reason that we haven't is because it just takes a lot of money.
Mm.
And like, it's just like a scientist at some university that has to be like, hey, can you fund my boat ride to the middle of the ocean to try to find eels fucking?
And they're like, ultimately,
they do
it doesn't matter.
They won't reproduce in
captivity.
Right. Next, I've been reading a lot of true crime lately.
The bad idea.
Which is not good. Here's the thing. I saw this comedy set on TikTok, ring the TikTok bell, and it sort of fit in with my true crime journey. And the premise of the joke was that this guy stays awake at night and thinks about, can he prove where he was?
Ooh.
The day before. Can you pick a time the day before and prove where you were?
Right. Full evidence.
And so having read all of these true crime books and watched these true crime shows lately, I'm now like, one of my biggest fears is now being accused
right,
of a crime.
You live alone. Like, you rarely have alibis.
Well, I was thinking about it because I live in a doorman building that does have security cameras.
Yeah.
And so.
And you're high enough up
right,
where you
there's
you
no
can't
way
get
I
out.
Could get out.
No,
yeah.
Also, your windows literally don't open. So
right.
You can't.
Right.
Okay.
So
all right.
I would be seen going in and out. Yeah.
Okay.
But can you?
No, probably not.
I was literally thinking about this yesterday. Like, it's crazy that if you got murdered, I would be questioned. Like, that's going to suck.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So it's not an if now, it's a when? Yeah. Yeah, it'll suck.
Like,
I mean, also, not only will be questioned, but, like, you'll probably be charged.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially now.
The like, amount of times that you have threatened to kill me is on record.
Exactly. The chances of me being charged in your murder just went up about 5,000% because
yeah.
I talked about it.
Yeah.
And then they'll play this.
How do you think it would happen?
On repeat.
How do you think it's going to happen?
I'm not going to give ideas. Yeah, I was also thinking about, like, could I ever actually
murder me?
Get away with murder.
Oh, okay.
Because I was thinking about, like,
I'm a terrible liar. There's no fucking way I could get away with murder.
I do think I'm a terrible liar, but the other problem is that I just don't think, I just, like, talk about everything too much. Like, there's no way, like, something that big could happen and I wouldn't just mention it in conversation.
Say it. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God, I forgot to tell you about this crazy thing that happened.
Right. I also am, like, compelled to fill an awkward silence. And I just know, like, the first date I go on
yeah.
and there's an awkward silence, I'm like, by the way, I killed someone. But it does. It's crazy because, like, I was watching The Staircase, and I mean, even though he probably killed his wife, like, the whole thing is that his wife is found at the bottom of the stairs. And assuming she did fall, what a horrible tragedy. Your wife dies in this tragic accident, and then you're charged with killing her?
Yeah.
Like, if he's telling the truth, that sucks
big time.
But, like, yeah, you can't trust a man like that, especially that guy. He's the most shady person imaginable. Anyway, next. This is just one of those facts that is often repeated, but when I think about it, I hate it. And mm-hmm. that is that woolly mammoths walked the earth while Cleopatra was alive and the pyramids were built. And
I don't understand. Weren't woolly mammoths part of the Ice Age? No.
According to the movie, yeah.
Am I basing this off of Ice Age, the movie? Wait. I actually don't know if I knew this.
Now that you said that, I'm like, did I make this?
I don't. We need a fact check. Woolly Mammoth.
Pyramids.
Okay, yeah, no, it's real.
Then what the fuck is the movie Ice Age about?
Also, like, I guess, is the Ice Age...
Answer me that, Ray Romano, yeah. Voice of the mammoth.
Who haunts my dreams sexually. Wait, is the Ice Age not the entire planet? Is the Ice Age actually just, like, North America and, like, everything else was fine?
I don't know.
Everything that I know is being toppled right now, unlike... the Great Pyramids.
The other fact that I saw recently that I didn't actually verify, but that sounds true, even though it fucks me up, is that something like stegosauruses existed like millions of years before the T-Rex. Millions of years.
I don't understand how we think that like we've been around for, you know, a couple thousand
right.
in this modern civilization and like we're going to be fine.
Right,
like,
right.
We're not going to be fine.
Yeah. No, that is the thing.
We're a blip.
Because also in the...
Bloop.
I think it was the eel book. It was also talking about like mass extinction events. Because... And how we're like probably in the middle of... Like there have been like five or six mass extinction events already.
Right. And I love that like...
And
well,
the asteroid that killed the
podcast.
Dinosaurs. Okay, we're getting a fact check
from producer Melissa.
Which I do think I knew.
You definitely blended all these things together
right.
and then just ignored facts.
There's two separate facts here.
Okay.
The one is that woolly mammoths roam the earth while the pyramids were built.
Yes.
The second fact is that Cleopatra lived closer to the first Pizza Hut being built than the pyramids.
Right. Good for Pizza Hut.
The
in
pyramids
this situation.
Were built like 2,000 years before Cleopatra.
Right.
So she's a fucking liar. Another thing that I can't really think about, buildings that are built into cliffs.
Like, what you doing? Like, famously, the cliff is there because land broke off. So building something into it, to me, is like, it's just going to break off again.
Right.
Wait, are we talking about the same thing?
Probably not.
Okay.
I'm thinking of like having just gone to Italy, the Amalfi Coast, brag, where all of these houses and buildings are built into the cliffside.
Mm.
And I don't, we're just getting way too confident with that kind of structure.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, when I was in Italy, they just built entire cities where Mount Vesuvius exploded. Like, we were in her blast zone.
Yeah.
And they don't give you a tarp or anything. Like,
Not even an umbrella.
Right. Because even when you see the Blue Man Group and you're sitting in the front row, they'll give you a little thing to cover yourself
yeah,
with.
Yeah, right.
In case you get any blue on you.
Yeah.
That's another thing I can't think about.
The Blue Man Group? I had the best fucking time at the Blue Man Group.
Is that only in Chicago?
No, they have it all over the place. They have it here. We should go.
They have different blue men?
Yeah.
It's not just one group?
No. Right?
So it's like a society.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure that's the entire plot of Tobias on Arrested Development.
Yeah, but he was never actually in the group.
Right, but the fact that you could audition.
Right.
Yeah, there are like many people, I think mostly only men maybe, out there whose job is to be a blue man.
I don't like that. It's like you could be talking to someone, a stranger. You could be standing next to someone at the park, on the subway, waiting for coffee. And that person could be a member of the Blue Man Group. And you would have no idea.
No idea.
And that is actually terrifying. More terrifying than the size of the universe, I would say.
Yeah.
Is that you could be around someone from the Blue Man Group at any given moment. Do we know their names even? I just am like...
Blue Man and Group. Yeah, do we know that we need an investigative podcast
yeah.
that follows the Blue Men Group?
This is my Woodward and Bernstein moment. I uncover. I go deep cover.
Casting. Oh, my God.
What do you even know? I think I saw the Blue Men Group when I was in grade school. We, like, went on a field trip.
Oh, my God. Auditions are coming soon. Sign me up.
Should I?
You should absolutely. I'm going to sign you up without telling you. I know your email.
Okay. What is... next, I cannot think about what my organs are doing inside
Never,
of
no.
me.
No, the organs slash blood. I can't think of the when I start thinking
oh, my
about
God, I cannot
my
think
blood,
about blood
in my body, I start to actually become faint. So I will stop now.
I don't. It's so weird. I don't think I was ever this way when I was younger. I used to have blood drawn. It was totally fine. And now the older I get, the more I now have to tell the nurse, like, I might pass out.
Yeah, no, I have a whole system that I have to go through.
Yeah. And the fucked up thing is they don't even, like, offer you a lollipop or anything after.
Yeah, no stickers.
And it's like, no, I'm actually old enough now to realize how fucked this is, that you're actually stealing my shit. And you don't even give me a prize?
Yeah. No, I don't understand, like, organs, where they are in my body, the fact that they're just, like, going all the time.
Right.
Like, the fact that you can sometimes, like, I remember there was one time where I was seeing this. It wasn't a chiropractor and he wasn't a massage therapist. It was, like, some stupid in between. And he was like, oh, there's your liver. And he was, like,
touching it.
And I was like, stop? Like,
yeah.
Like, what the fuck do you mean? You're feeling my liver right now.
Yeah. That's also, it's like surgery where they'll just cut you open and then you're like, you're just open like a bag of Doritos. And they could just kind of move stuff around. I don't like that at all. I don't, yeah.
I also don't like the game Operation because I do not have a steady hand and it always made me feel bad.
Yeah.
Just thinking about that game.
Right. The board game era.
It wasn't even like a board game. It was just like a toy. I guess it's a board game.
Yeah. Making a mockery out of a life-saving, out of some poor man who, why don't they ever talk about the Operation game in Toy Story? That man is living in constant agony.
Because it's too fucked. They'd have to be rated like X.
Yeah. In the Toy Story universe, the guy on the table in emergency operation is in immense pain and agony. But yeah, I cannot think about my blood. Yeah, there's that thing where it's like your blood is technically blue until it's exposed.
Yeah.
And I don't like that. Another thing, now we're getting back into the sea, but what are jellyfish? I don't understand. I've heard so much facts about jellyfish, and every fact I hear about jellyfish is one fact that I wish I didn't fucking know, because they're like, oh, this jellyfish is actually 700 feet long, and I'm like, what is that? Okay. And then they all have these cute names. It's like, oh, this, we named this one after like a hat, right? The Panama, the man of war or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Because it looks like a little Panama hat.
Oh, really? I want to look that up.
I think that's, I'm not making that up. And it's like, oh, look at that. No, it's a blob of jelly that just floats in the ocean and could murder everything that crosses its path. And then I hear these facts that are like, actually, jellyfish are like immortal.
What?
What is that? It's like a jellyfish will never die.
What? Like an elf? Like,
yeah, like certain jellyfish are just like literally immortal. I can't explain it because I don't understand it. But it's like they don't age. That's it.
Okay.
So unless something comes in with like a gun and shoots it, which we should be doing, a jellyfish will just live forever, I think.
Cool.
This is why SpongeBob was catching them all the time.
Yeah.
He was actually doing a great service.
Yeah.
And finally, I don't like thinking about the amount of poop on an airplane. We're just flying around with it. I saw a TikTok, ring the TikTok bell, of a flight attendant showing the little thing. They have like a meter on a screen in the front. And she was like, we're in the middle of the Pacific Ocean and we're full. We're at capacity. And it's this little, like, it goes from green to yellow to orange to red. And it shows like how full the poop bucket is in the plane. And it was at red.
Right, because they don't just like empty it between flights, right?
Well, they should empty it between flights, but they were like over the ocean. And so they couldn't just empty it into the sky. I don't understand why not.
Yeah, like whatever. Kill a couple jellyfish on your way out.
Yeah, exactly. You could be killing two birds with one stone here and just releasing the shit into the ocean. But the fact that every time you see a person get up on an airplane to go take a fat shit in the bathroom, that their shit is with you for the rest of the flight. You're actually flying alongside of it. Yeah.
Love that.
And
going on a flight tomorrow. Can't wait.
Not just shit.
No.
It's actually all of the bodily fluids.
Whoa.
Also, the number of videos that I have accidentally come across, I'll say, on the internet of men just blowing their loads in a bathroom.
Okay. We have to talk about this at another time.
Airplane bathroom specifically.
Oh, okay.
That's the thing, and this is what I'll end on. You know, it's always a kind of joke of like, oh, you can't get pregnant from a toilet seat. I think you can. I think you can. Based on what I've seen on the internet, there's cum everywhere.
Cool.
And every bathroom toilet you've ever been in, if it's unisex, there's semen on everything.
Love that.
And I'll say, it's mine. No, I will never. I'm never jerking off on an airplane. You can quote me on that. And that's it for this week's deep dive. I hope everyone is still listening. We did not terrify you away. All right, we're almost there. We're almost at the end of the show. But first, our chasers. Chasers are the good shit that helps all the bad shit go down easier, starting with Do Better White People, where we highlight some anti-racism resources and other actions we can take to make our world a little bit better. Barry, what are we highlighting this week?
I wanted to highlight something that's a little general, but I'll get specific, which we've talked about mutual aid funds before. And I just, with the summer, we're fully in summer now, want to say it's a great time to look into your mutual aid fund, your local one, and see if there are any sort of like summer related drives that are happening. I used to live in Bed-Stuy, and their mutual aid fund is Bed-Stuy Strong, and it's super great. And like they have a whole campaign for donating old AC units and things like that, getting fans and stuff to help keep communities cool. So I just want to say it's a good time to look in your local mutual aid fund and see if there are some summer related things that you could be doing to help out your community.
Yeah. All right. You can also find all of our Do Better White People shout outs in our Instagram bio in case you want to look those up. Now, how about the TV we've been watching? Barry, what have you been watching?
Been watching a lot. Finished Stranger
Same.
Things.
Me too.
Yeah, I've had that Chrissy TikTok song stuck in my head. Yes. Also today, specifically, because you recorded a recorder version.
Yeah.
And I hope that by the time this comes out, it's gone viral.
Yeah, it's not. I can pretty much say confidently that it's not, but we could drop a link. And,
yeah, make it go viral.
But also, I think people should hear my recorder playing Chrissy wake
Chrissy,
up.
I don't like this. Other than that, I kind of forgot about Rutherford Falls after I started watching it. So I started watching it again. Just a joy. But then most importantly, The Bear.
Yeah.
I have watched all of it. I've got a lot of thoughts and opinions.
I need to watch it.
You need to watch it. Ayoade Abiri is in it. And she's fucking amazing in it, which is great. She's a comedian, if folks here aren't aware. I love. And she is a very good actress in this. And I forgot that What We Do in the Shadows is back, and I need to watch.
Yes, I just saw it today.
Yeah.
We should watch it later.
We should. Except for the fact that we're going to see something else that maybe we shouldn't even tease.
Right.
We'll talk about it next week. What about you? What are you watching this week?
Also watched all of Stranger Things. Have been in a true crime hole. So I watched The Staircase on HBO, finally, because I watched the documentary on Netflix, and now I watch the dramatized version with Colin Firth and Toni Collette. Here's what I'll say. Mm-hmm. I liked both. If you want to see Colin Firth eating out Toni Collette's ass,
you should watch
it.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a bad habit when I'm watching something that's based on like a book that I know or another thing that I've watched where I'm like, I'm constantly thinking whether people who haven't seen the first thing will get it.
Oh,
does that make sense?
Yeah.
Where I'm like, oh, this is interesting, but like, will it make sense to people who haven't seen the documentary?
Yeah.
Or haven't read the book,
right,
or whatever.
Which like ultimately is not for you to worry about.
I know, but I take on so much anxiety, specifically when I'm watching with other people where I'm like, are they understanding
right,
this?
Right, like, do I need to say something?
Yeah, I'm like, do I recommend this to like my mom? Or am I going to have to say, you have to watch the documentary first? I don't know. Mm. I don't know.
Mm.
But I think it's fascinating, having watched the documentary, to then see the dramatized version that contains a whole bunch of other stuff, like the fact that Michael Peterson ended up in a relationship with the editor of the documentary.
Oh, right. I forgot about that. Yeah. Yeah.
While she was actively editing it.
Yeah.
And they cut out a bunch of stuff that like made him look pretty guilty.
Right. Cool.
But also they talk about the owl theory.
Yeah.
Because she was found with like feathers in her fingers. And like there was an angry owl that lived near them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, crazy shit. Also, I'll Be Gone in the Dark.
Yeah. Gave me nightmares. Had to lock my door for a while.
Right.
Very well done documentary. We did, in fact, produce the companion podcast.
Right. I'm still watching the documentary, still listening to the podcast, but I read Michelle McNamara's book, which is really great. And yeah, I'm working my way through the documentary. And then I know everyone is wondering, I am on season 6 of The Real Housewives. Yes, I've watched 6 seasons.
Speaking of things that you haven't updated us on, just want to make sure people know, it's not that he lost kickball. It's that kickball was canceled. That's why you weren't talking about kickball at all today.
Yes.
It's because kickball was canceled. I know people are, they want to know.
Right.
Even though no one's asked.
Sure. Yeah. And what did I do instead? Watch a bunch of The Real Housewives.
Perfect.
And I will say, I have never hated a group of women more in my life. And I'm conflicted saying that because I don't love to shit on a reality show. It's like they are real people.
Right.
But also these women in particular, I'm like, no, you're just pieces of shit. Also, it's Orange County. So they're all the worst people imaginable in the United States. And listen, I've performed there. If I come again, everyone there is great. But Orange County is famously like incredibly conservative. And they live in this ridiculous bubble where they all live in mansions. And I mean, it's just why we can record an entire podcast about this. The fact that one of them is having her house worked on and she's talking to the workers who do not speak English and saying like, no toucho the widow.
Oh my God.
And I'm like,
oh my God.
You're saying this, there are cameras on you.
Oh, that is horrible.
And this was in like 2012. Like it's not that long ago.
No.
Anyway.
No. Okay.
What is your non-TV chaser?
My non-TV chaser is a book that you recommended a while ago, which is Why Fish Don't Exist.
I love that book.
I'm finally reading it. I really love it. Lulu Miller is an incredible radio producer who I know I've looked up to for a long time, and she's so fantastic. And wow, it is such a beautiful book.
Yeah.
So it's been really fun to read it. Mm-hmm. What about you? What's your non-TV chaser?
Even though it's also a book that will like, yeah, kind it does. I mean,
yeah, definitely. But
although it kind of
there's
it's
a
like,
lot of like, not even optimism. It's helpful,
right?
I think more than not.
It's basically like nothing matters, but like that's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
My non-TV chaser. What is my non-TV chaser? I mean, we have alluded to it, but I have been practicing the recorder. And it is genuinely fun. I need to actually learn an instrument that is not the recorder.
Yeah, that your neighbors won't want to murder you for. Have you thought at all about whether or not your neighbors
can constantly
hear you?
About it? And I'm so
They're
self-conscious.
Like, oh my God, who like adopted a small child recently?
Usually, and I don't know if this is a good idea or a bad idea, but I'm like, I try to play it only during like the daytime and not the, but maybe people are working from home, so that's even worse.
Someone just being in a meeting, be like, I'm sorry, I have to mute myself again. My neighbor pulled out the recorder.
And it at least I do it in a room that doesn't share. I do it in my middle room that doesn't share a wall with any other apartment.
Yeah.
But like whoever's upstairs or downstairs probably doesn't be playing the recorder. But I do forget. It's nice to just like have something where I'm like, oh, I'm kind of like practicing at it every day. It's just ridiculous that this is about recorder. But I do. It does make me want to like get a piano or keyboard.
Get a keyboard.
Yeah,
get
and learn that and practice at it because that is less annoying and I can plug headphones into it.
Yeah.
That being said, I will continue playing the recorder.
Yeah.
And
as
I
you should.
Have been learning Lord of the Rings. Bum, 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 bum. Maybe I'll learn the snare drum.
Ooh.
Or the cymbals.
Wow. Yeah, that won't annoy anyone.
Anyway, that's it for this week's episode. Thank you for listening to Unhappy Hour. You can buy merch at unhappyhourshop.com. As always, you can head to the Odyssey app or wherever you get this podcast. Follow us, rate us, review us, but only if it's nice. I don't want to hear your shit. Unhappy Hour is a production of Pineapple Street Studios. It's produced by Barry Finkel, Melissa Slaughter, Marisa Orozco, and me, Matt Belisai. Hadim Jang, Meredith Rice, and Kirk Courtney help out with our socials. Special thanks to Jenna Weiss-Berman and Max Linsky. Our music is by Hansdale Sue. You can bother Barry at Finkelberry Pie. You can worship me at Matt Belisai. And you can follow Unhappy Hour Pod on Twitter and Unhappy Hour on Instagram for all the latest podcast buzz. You can leave us a voicemail at our rant hotline at 601-600-RANT. That's 601-600-7268. And that's it. That's everything. Thank you for listening. See you next week. Bye-bye. Chrissy, wake up.
I don't like this.
Chrissy, wake up.